Picture a young woman floating in the Mediterranean Sea for 4 days, clinging to a child's inflatable ring with two babies pressed against her chest, surrounded by hundreds of corpses. This isn't fiction. It's the true story of Doa Al-Zamal, a Syrian refugee whose survival defied every conceivable odd. Her journey from a quiet life in Daraa to becoming a symbol of the refugee crisis reveals something we often forget when we hear statistics about displaced people. Behind every number is a human being with dreams, fears, and an unshakable will to live. What transforms an ordinary teenage girl into someone capable of surviving the unsurvivable? The answer lies not in superhuman strength, but in the accumulation of small acts of courage that build upon one another until defiance becomes second nature. Before the war, Doa's biggest rebellion was dreaming of becoming a policewoman instead of marrying young. Her family of eight squeezed into a single room in Daraa, where life was hard but predictable, until December 2010, when Tunisian fruit vendor Mohamed Bouazizi set himself on fire to protest government corruption. That single act ignited the Arab Spring, and within months, the fire reached Syria. It started with graffiti. In February 2011, schoolboys in Daraa spray-painted "Your Next Doctor" on their school wall, mocking President Assad. The boys were arrested and tortured. On March 18th, protesters demanding their freedom were met with bullets. Everything changed when 16-year-old Doa witnessed security forces shooting peaceful protesters carrying olive branches. The government she once dreamed of serving was killing its own people. The shy girl who feared change suddenly joined the revolution, making colored bracelets, creating slogans, and throwing tear gas canisters back at security forces. When her father tried to stop her, she defied him until he relented. Revolution awakened in Doa a fierce determination that would later save her life. On April 25, 2011, tanks rolled into Daraa. Helicopters circled as soldiers marched through streets. That night, electricity and water were cut. The radio announced, "Daraa is under siege." For 11 days, Daraa's family of eight survived on rationed scraps, sharing a single glass of water. Security forces raided their home up to 3 times daily, smashing food supplies. During one raid, a soldier shoved his rifle into Daraa's stomach. When another young soldier stared at her inappropriately, she glared back. "I'm a free person. I can do whatever I want," she said, emphasizing "free." In her boldest act, Daraa hid a free Syrian army fighter, disguising him as furniture during a search. When the siege ended, over 200 people had died, 1,000 were arrested, and bodies lay uncollected in streets. In June 2012, missiles destroyed her father's barbershop. Daraa grew dangerously thin and developed eye infections. The final breaking point came when officials followed them home from a clinic, threatening to kidnap her. That night, walking after curfew, they witnessed men disposing of bodies in dumpsters. Her parents finally agreed. Time to leave Syria. Doa knelt in the back seat, tears streaming as Syria disappeared behind her. She had deliberately left belongings in Daraa, hoping to ensure her return. At the ferry terminal, her lifelong fear of water paralyzed her. She sat frozen at the vessel's center, face sheer white with terror. When they reached Egypt's Nuweiba port in August 2012, customs officials welcomed them warmly. "Syria and Egypt are bound together like family," one said. But Doa fell into depression in Gamasa. When her father became too ill to work, 17-year-old Doa took a factory job, carrying heavy loads on her 88-pound frame. She declined marriage proposals from Egyptian men, determined to marry only a Syrian. Then she met Bassem, a 28-year-old hairdresser who had owned a successful salon in Daraa before joining the opposition. After being imprisoned and tortured for 2 months, he discovered his brother had been killed while carrying Bassem's ID, forcing him to flee Syria. Captivated when he first saw Doa, Bassem proposed. She firmly rejected him, insisting she wouldn't marry outside Syria. Then, on July 3, 2013, Egypt's military coup changed everything. President Morsi, who had welcomed Syrian refugees, was ousted by General el-Sisi. Overnight, Syrians were viewed as terrorists. Egyptian news anchors vilified them, with one threatening, "If you interfere in Egypt, you will be beaten by 30 shoes." As life deteriorated, Bassem grew desperate. When Doa's mother discovered he had rat poison and was threatening suicide, she became alarmed. Bassem called, confessing, "If I die, at least I know I will have you in heaven, since I can't have you in this life." Realizing she couldn't bear losing him, Doa finally called and said, "If you are still interested, you can ask my father for my hand." Her fear of trusting someone was nothing compared to her fear of losing him. 9 months after their engagement, Bassem proposed escaping to Europe by smuggler's boat. Terrified of water and unable to swim, Doa refused. After 2 months of persistence, Bassem suggested going alone. She relented. They sold their engagement gifts and borrowed money to raise $2,500 for a smuggler, promising safe passage. Their first two attempts ended in capture by Egyptian authorities. Their belongings were stolen, and they spent 10 days each time in filthy detention centers. During the second imprisonment, Doa fell seriously ill with kidney stones and a stomach infection. Despite this trauma, she convinced Bassem to try again. On September 6, 2014, they received the call. Reaching the water's edge, Doa discovered her $50 life jacket was fake, barely enough buoyancy to keep her chin above water. The promised four-star ship was actually a decrepit fishing trawler packed with at least 500 refugees, a million-dollar profit for smugglers. Chaos erupted when someone shouted, "Police!" and bullets struck the boat. They sped into darkness as passengers dove for cover. At dawn, they transferred to another trawler where refugees, mostly Syrians, with Palestinian families and some Africans, began whispering introductions, seeking community amid shared misery. On their fourth day at sea, the captain promised Italy in 19 hours. As Doa dozed, shouting jolted her awake. A blue fishing boat approached, men hurling insults and planks. "Sending these filthy dogs to the bottom of the sea," one yelled, before ramming their vessel twice. Doa lost Bassem's hand and found herself trapped underwater beneath plastic rice sacks before escaping. She clung to the sinking stern as people were pulled into the spinning propeller. When Bassem called from the water, she let go. He found a child's inflatable ring, secured it around her waist, and promised to stay with her. For 2 days, they floated among corpses and desperate survivors, Bassem keeping her spirits up by planning their future in Sweden. On the second night, his strength failed. "I'm sorry, my love," he whispered. "I think I'm going to die." Despite Doa's pleas, he slipped beneath the waves. Shortly after, a Palestinian man brought his 18-month-old granddaughter, Masa, begging Doa to take her. Another man soon brought his 9-month-old niece, Malak. Though barely afloat herself, Doa took both babies, placing them on her chest as she floated on her back in the tiny ring. For 2 more days, she fought to keep them alive, singing and checking their pulses. By the 4th morning, drifting in and out of consciousness, she spotted a bird circling 3 times, a sign from God, she believed. Soon after, she desperately signaled a plane with a plastic bottle reflecting sunlight. The chemical tanker CPO Japan rescued Doa from her inflatable ring, pulling aboard the 2 children she clutched. A helicopter evacuated them to Crete, where Doa learned that little Malak had died, though Masa survived. In Greece, Doa connected Masa with her surviving uncle while processing her trauma. Her media interviews about the smugglers triggered threats against her family in Egypt, but UNHCR helped them qualify for resettlement. Despite her grief, Doa found new resolve fighting for her family's safety, receiving an award from the Academy of Athens for her courage. She gradually confronted her fear of the sea and reunited with her family in Sweden. In her own words, "I've shared just a glimpse of the hardship refugees endure worldwide. We risk our lives with cruel smugglers because we have no choice after facing war and losing our homes. We aren't terrorists. We're humans with hearts that feel and love. Doa's story forces us to confront uncomfortable questions. Why must refugees risk their lives when safer pathways could exist? Every time we reduce refugees to statistics, we erase stories like Doa's, ordinary people forced into extraordinary circumstances who discover hope more powerful than any sea.